If we look at difficulties and distress and problems and how to attain wealth, regarding to how to attain wealth, this is the situation of life. The concept, the situation, the thoughts that go through our minds. And this is how our life revolves and our thoughts revolve. I remember a poem, some verses written by a friend, that Allah, O Khuda, your remembrance, fikr is daily. 2 days we are living and it's very temporary in the way we are living this life. That life is for 2 days and we live our life with this worry and distress. Life is temporary, it is short, there are many issues and problems, and we have many problems and worries and distress. Another poem comes to mind, some verses, that there are many points of sadness and distress relating to the life in this world. But at the same time, there is no distress or sadness with regards to where we are going. This world, this life that we live in, is the house of issues, you could say. There is nobody in the world who doesn't have an issue or a problem of some sort. From the young age to the youth to the middle age to the old age. All of these phases, everyone has some sort of issue or problem or difficulty or distress. And they are at some stage to a certain degree occupied with those issues. Fikrat, worries, problems, and tafakkarat, to ponder over the issues, thinking over the issues. Different unique forms of issues come upon a person. These three things I've told you. That the worry about rizq, wealth, this on its own is a very big subject and topic for individuals. There's a fikr, there's a worry how to earn the bread and how to earn the wages and bring the bread to the table, food to the table. And this is a fikr for which a solution is not visible. And there's no solution that the dunya has brought about that we can become totally pain-free from issues or problems, or take such a tablet that all worries disappear and that our solutions come for our problems. Or if I don't get a job, then take a tablet and the job will come. Or career is not on track, take a tablet, the career will come on track. So with these issues to live our life, you have the ups and the downs and the challenges and the tests. And this is the reality. This is the reality. So brothers, it's not just that only every common man, every person, normal person, whoever there is in the world is occupied, the friend of Allah, whoever. Like I said, there are many issues that the zamana, that the generation, the people are living, are immersed in many problems. And there's just one distress for not going towards Allah. What the friend of Allah, he has the fikr of the akhirah, the world that he's going to go to forever. And we're not even free from that distress. Even the person who does dhikr is not free from this. The person who does tasbih is not free from this. The person who reads the Quran is not free from this. The person who attains ilm is not free from this. And as the irfan and the awareness arises, then his khawf and his fear and his attention increases for the akhirah. So there's nobody free from fikr and worry and pondering and analysis. Everybody to a certain extent is immersed in a worry and an issue and a distress. Either it's so many distresses about this dunya or the one about the hereafter. And for which there is no solution, then you can only get the solution from one place. And what is that place? From whom? From the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we turn our attention towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's court, his guidance. Maybe we'll get the answer, inshallah we'll get the answer. And Sadiq Masduq, the trustworthy, the honest, when words emanated from his blessed mouth, then all of the problems, the solution is, وَمَا رَسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He was for the whole of universe, for the alams, for the creations, for the universe, a solution, a rahmah, mercy. So inshallah, most definitely, there will be a solution for this, for problems and worries and difficulties and troubles that will come. The solution will come from the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the blessed statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not come waste of time discussion. What would come would be mustanad, honesty, sincerity, straight down the line talk. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. It was his blessed habit, because he was a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was an ashik, And on top of that, he was an ashik of the sunnah Rasulullah. He was a lover of the sunnah of the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's apparent the ashik of the Prophet obviously will be he who does love, who has love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. Otherwise, you are walking on one leg. You are hinging on one leg. And he was an ashik of Rasulullah sallam, a lover. And why was he a lover of Rasulullah sallam? Because he had love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam. Many events prove this, lay claim to this. He was ashik, strong. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the noble prophet, had a majlis, a gathering, an assembly of the sahaba around him, they would sit and the gathering would take place and the assembly would start. At that time, what would Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu do? He was from all of the sahaba, one sahabi, that as the sahaba would gather, when they would hear the precious pearls emanating from the blessed words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would collect them, the sahaba. Whatever words, whatever discussion would take place, they would record in their minds, they would put into the records of history the words of Rasulullah. And some sahaba, they asked that, when you write things, Abdullah bin Umar, because when Abdullah bin Umar used to listen, he used to write, he said, that's fine. But the people who will come in the future, they may get confused or distressed. Why? Because Rasulullah, the words that come from his blessed statements, his blessed mouth, sometimes he speaks maybe out of a little bit of anger, sometimes there's a little bit of jest involved and a bit of lightheartedness. So you write all of this. So how will the people be able to differentiate that what was the mood and the character in the gathering at that time? Then Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar was silent. He stopped writing. He stopped recording the events and the things that would emanate from the company of Rasulullah. And when he stopped writing, then Rasulullah noticed this and he asked, Abdullah, you used to write and record my words. Why are you not writing now? And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he narrated the situation, what the Sahaba said and how he reacted to that and stopped writing, and what the Sahaba, the question that they arose. And then Rasulullah said that, I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my life, that from this tongue emanates haqq, truth, and nothing else. Nothing else. Whether it's anger, that is haqq. Whether it's jest and lightheartedness, that is haqq. That is truth. And apart from truth, nothing else emanates from the blessed statements of mine. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was straight down the line. And he spoke, and what he did was from Allah. And even if it was lightheartedness and jest, but even haqq was within that, because that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like once a companion came, blessed noble companion came, he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm about to go on a journey. Can you give me a camel? Can you please give me a camel so I can go on the journey? The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I can give you the camel's child. He said, O Prophet of Allah, what will I do with the child of the camel? I have a very long journey and the child will not be able to hold my baggage, my burden. I need a camel. Rasulullah said, I can give you the child of the camel. He said it again. Then he said again, O Prophet of Allah, but if you're going to give me the child of the camel, but the child of the camel, the baby camel can't do nothing. I need the camel. The Rasulullah said, has it ever been that a camel is not a child of another camel? Yes, all camels, subhanAllah, said this was haqq. It was a joke, lightheartedness, but it was haqq, truth in it. There was another companion, subhanAllah. And he had long hands, big hands, long arms. Rasulullah gave him the title, the person with the long hands, the long arms. And he used to call him out like that, oh, yul yadain, that you have the long arms, the long reach. Oh, the man of two arms. Whenever a word would come, this hadith, beautiful hadith, in the name of the hadith, this is the name of the hadith, hadith of Yuladain, this is called. This, if I speak about the hadith, it will be a long discussion. So there's a hadith on this point upon his name. So look here, the ashiks, the companions, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to love them. Someone said, what is your name, Yuladain? This is just a title given to you. Rasulullah has given you this title. What is your name? Tell me, what is your name, so we can call you by name. He said, my name is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has chosen. That's it. Apart from that, I don't even know what is my name. And this is the hadith of Yuladain, that Rasulullah said that you are the one with two arms, with a long reach. And this was a jest, lightheartedness, but this was what he had. This was his physical characteristic. And then there was one, the two ears. His ears were there. This was haqq, it was jest. So with every statement of the noble Prophet was haqq. The elderly woman came, she said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, For me, can you do dua for me that I can go into Jannah, into paradise? So the Prophet ﷺ said that old women will not go into paradise. She started to cry, oh Prophet of Allah, what has happened when I pass away? Please do dua for me that I can go to paradise. Then Rasulullah says again that old women will not go to Jannah. She cried even more, shrieked out. Then Rasulullah said, don't worry, be comforted. The old woman will not go. All the women who will pass away, they will go into paradise with a young, youthful age. So this was haqq. Truth would emanate from the noble mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his words and noble statements. So when the question was put forward, presented, all of the issues were solved. The solutions for the predicaments came forth from the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, present to me, tell me, and I will answer you how our problems today relating to our wealth, our wages, our earnings, our salary, our problems, our difficulties, our issues, our worries, our depressions, we should put them forth towards that right guidance. Then we look for the wrong solutions, we go into the wrong paths, we start doing wrong actions, and then the kharafat and the loss of actions of loss and crime and sin and bad discussions, bad words, bad actions, sins, haram and halal, there's no differentiation, and that is what emanates. There's a hadith in Mishkat, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that there are three things, tafakkarat, distress and worries, problems and difficulties, rizq, wealth and earnings. These are the problems that are confronting us in the world. Shall I tell you the solution to these issues? This is the meaning of the hadith. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that when you want to solve these three predicaments, do you want this, brothers? Do you want to practice on this, inshallah, the guidance we'll get? That he who wants to end and solve these predicaments, I will say that the whole world is included in these predicaments, in these issues, who does not have a need for this solution. This is such a great solution, the key for the lock we will get, such a great solution we'll get at this moment in time, alhamdulillah. And if we get a share of this, then we'll get some sukoon. And inshallah, when we do pass away from this world, we will pass away with ease. So first I said that from the noble statements and words of Rasulullah, some whatever words came from him are sadiq, truthful, honest and sincere. The stamp of approval of Allah is on them. The question does not arise that from the guidance of the Prophet, difficulties do not get ended, rizq does not get aligned in the correct way, and problems and difficulties don't get solved. So Rasulullah said that these three things that you want to end, predicaments, problems, difficulties, worries, and rizq, what should that man and woman do to eliminate the worries? They should do istighfar, repentance in abundance. What a great statement. A short statement, but a weighty statement. Abundance of istighfar, abundance of seeking tawbah. Allah Ta'ala said, your worries will end, your tafaraqat, your opposition and quarrels and disputes will finish, and rizq and wealth will come from such a source that you could not even imagine. You could not even imagine. From such a place his rizq will come, his wealth will come. So this is istighfar. This is repentance. Big blessings in this. Istighfar, to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Seek forgiveness from Allah in abundance. And forgiveness from Allah, seeking in abundance, isn't that you just do this when you sin. Oh, I've sinned and I'm seeking Allah for forgiveness. No. No, this is for the ghawth, the kutab, the abdal, for every level of the wali of Allah, for every human being, for every insan. It's lazim, it's a must. It's not just for the sinner to say astaghfirullah, to seek astaghfar, forgiveness from Allah. No, it's for every believer, living person. For example, I've made an error, I've sinned, and I seek forgiveness, and the forgiveness is inshallah issued. But every person who does ibadah, who worships or does deeds, he should seek astaghfar, forgiveness. Why? Because maybe I've done ibadat or good actions with deficiencies, with gaps, because I cannot commit the actions, I cannot fulfill the actions, practice actions that is rightfully due to Allah with the right level of focus, attention. Allah, I've done tilawat, I've prayed, I've done hajj, Allah, I've done it perfectly, 100% with good high quality. Nobody can claim to this. Everyone in the world who does ibadat, who worships Allah, remembers Allah, cannot do it to the 100% capacity that's due. Allah, I prayed, but I could not pray according to your rank and status and what was due to you. Allah, I could not do the ibadat according to the haqq that was due. There's one prayer that we fulfill, and there's one prayer that after we pray, we should be aware and accept and do istighfar and seek forgiveness. Inshallah, then that worship will be accepted in the court of Allah. Istighfar, seeking forgiveness, is not just seeking forgiveness on the sins. Rather, we say, Allah, all of my actions I've done from morning till evening, all the time. Don't think you don't need to do istighfar for that or seek forgiveness for those actions. Rather, with regularity and consistency, it is definitely required from me with the right niyyah, with sincerity, that Allah, I've practiced, I've done these actions. Maybe they're worship actions, good deeds. I've done dhikr, I've prayed salah, I've done tasbihat, I've remembered you, I've fasted for you. Any good deed under the sun. Sadaqah, charity, zakat, khairat, helping someone, assisting someone, doing a good deed for somebody. Any good deed under the sun that we have committed, and we've just committed that deed, we've practiced that deed, we can never practice that deed to its full capacity and what is rightfully due from that action. But when we finish that deed, at least if I say three times, Astaghfirullah, 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 then inshallah that deed will be accepted. Inshallah I'll be successful. How a great statement. What a great point. So from today, let's tie a knot on this statement. Let's remember this point to note. Point to note. That we have to make a niyyah. That Allah, this action I've just committed, this deed I've just committed, Allah, I've done it, Allah accept it, Allah please accept my forgiveness. That a person, every condition, every time, should be saying Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. We are always dependent on Allah Ta'ala forgiving us. And if we become regular in this, consistent in this, consistently, that morning and evening we do Astaghfirullah. And how do we do that? There's no limit to this. Hasb tawfiq, according to the tawfiq Allah gives, capability, energy, regularity, then you will become very regular in istighfar. If you say and seek forgiveness with regularity and you avoid the sins, you'd morning and evening seek istighfar, then there will be no quarrels, disputes, no worries, no difficulties, and you won't have any problems about your rizq, your wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from some angle, from some source, will solve our difficulties, worries, quarrels, disputes, and our wealth worries. I remember an event of a pious predecessor. There was a pious predecessor, an elder in the deen. And this should be for all of the mu'mineen, but especially for the walis of Allah. This is the rank and status that they don't spread their hands in front of anybody to ask, to request, to beg, to plead, to request for their needs. They don't ask from anybody. This should be the same for everybody, because it's haram to beg. Remember this. And it's in a severe critical situation, it is allowed to ask. It is allowed. In a severe, critical condition, where a person is very forced to, in that condition, according to his need, he can ask, request. But in a normal situation, to ask, to request is haram. Haram. And this is not the status of the pious predecessors. What were they? They were independent. They were proud. They were independent. And to give sadqat for these people, to serve them, to give to them, to deliver to them, this is true sadaqah and zakat, and this is the true khidmat, the service. They will never ask. They will never ask. But we have to see, a person has to assess. You have to start looking and put your sight vision goggles on. You won't see them, that they have a need, they have a requirement. But within, for a few days, the children have not eaten meat. For many days, they don't know what is chapati, bread, how the curry is cooked, what is chicken, what are the needs of life. They are independent from this. But when they come out of the house, they don't need anything. They don't show to anybody. To the extreme critical condition, they don't ask. If they're living in poverty, hunger, thirst, they still don't ask. And I've seen such people with the fadl of Allah. And you should keep on looking for such people. Why? Because we should give to such people who don't ask, because it's Allah's promise. It's Allah's promise that ask from me. Allah Ta'ala has given the tariqah, the method. Allah has given us the method. The method, how many methods? That Allah Ta'ala says, I will fulfill your needs. Why do you run after the dunya? Why do you run after the world? So there was an elder, pious predecessor, he was a wali of Allah. And this was his status, rank, his mashallah, status was for a few days they had not eaten anything at home. There was hunger, children were young, and there was nothing at home. Nothing to eat, drink, and he left home to go to salah prayer. The wife was worried, and she said, the situation is my husband, that they have 2 riyal I saved up from such a long time with hardship and difficulty. These are the 2 riyal I've got. So what you do, my husband, take the 2 riyal. The children are hungry, there's nothing to eat at home. Get some flour, bring it home so I can knead the dough and feed them the bread. He said, is it? You have 2 riyal? You saved it? She said, yes, I saved this. Women, mashallah, the good women, they are like this. From some source, they save, keep in hiding the money. The good women of the home. And I've seen, I told you a quality of the women which is mentioned in the hadith. The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us a quality of the women that, mashallah, they are aware of the needs at home and they preserve and protect the wealth of the husband. This is their quality. In opposition, that they don't waste the money, spend here, left, right, here and then wasting the money, throwing the money. Rather, they have a good quality, speciality, quality of the good women. That they protect and preserve the wealth of the husband. The good women who want to run the house nicely in a balanced way, who have long-term vision and have the understanding. So this wife of the elder, she had saved the 2 riyals over a period of time. And when the difficult time had come, she said, my husband, take these 2 dirham, 2 riyal. In that time, there used to be dirhams. She said, take, the money and get some flour, bring it to him. So he went, he said, fine. And he left the home. So the situation is that the dunya outside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the shan, the quality in the world, that when people pass through hardships like this, and poverty, problems, and he remembers who he is, and he's in the path of Allah, and he's regular and steadfast, and he is sincere, then after one test, another test comes from Allah. What is this? These are all challenges, not to persecute man, not to pain man, but Allah Ta'ala wants to give more enjoyment of his love, that aha, now you need to accept who is the Rabb, O servant. Allah Ta'ala gives to the people of the world, they say, what's he doing? But pain upon pain, difficulty upon difficulty, the friend of Allah, he enjoys this. So when he left home, a few feet away from home, he saw a child is crying, standing there, a young child crying. He said, why are you crying, O child? What's the problem? He said, my master gave me 2 riyal and I was walking, and en route the 2 riyal, the dirhams they dropped, I've lost them. I don't know, if I go back, I tell to my master, he will beat me. And if I go back, and if I don't go back, I'm in a predicament. That what shall I do? The 2 dirham I've lost. I can't find it and I can't do what my master told me. And he's crying badly. My master will hit me, will beat me. He won't let me go free. He'll give me punishment. He won't believe me that I left the 2 dirham and that they got lost. Aha, he said, is it? And what's his situation? He needs the 2 dirham. Children are hungry, severe. He took the 2 dirham out and gave them to the crying child. Allahu Akbar. And he forgot his loss and he gave to that child. This dhikr that we do, my friends, until we don't get this quality characteristics, there's no benefit of dhikr. No, this is the dhikr of parrot, my Hazrat used to say. That if I don't bring it to myself, into my character, insaniyat, and feeling and emotions for myself, human beings, my fellow human beings, then I should consider until that time that my dhikr is not beneficial. It's just a habit. I'm doing dhikr for the sake of it. Dhikr should give me the results that I start to have regard and emotion and love, muhabbat, and give assistance to and feel the pain of others. Remember this always, me and you definitely should compare ourselves that I'm doing dhikr. We are remembering Allah. From this, are changes coming to our life, or are we still the donkeys? Are we still living the animal lives? Or are we doing the tasbihat, the number of tasbih is increasing, the dhikr quantity is increasing, and we see that we're getting thawab. Yes, you're getting thawab, reward. But think this, that the real reason what I'm here for, am I obtaining that? Is my heart becoming tender? Is the feeling and the quality of love and compassion and desire for the betterment of other people coming out? As pride and bogus and malice and envy and hatred come out of my heart? Otherwise, what's the difference between me and a person who doesn't do dhikr? If there's a dhakir who's doing dhikr in the morning and evening, he's going to this masjid and that masjid, this mosque there's announcement, that mosque there's announcement, and he's doing dhikr upon dhikr, and there's another person not doing dhikr. So what's the difference between the two? That when both are standing in one place, the person who's the dhakir has got takabbur pride and the other person's got pride. He's a miser in spending, the dhakir, and the non-dhakir is a miser in spending. And the dhakir has got all of the spiritual maladies and the non-dhakir has got all the spiritual maladies. So what's the difference? Allahu Akbar. A person who does dhikr remembers Allah. From within him, his dhikr should speak. His dhikr should speak. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. What should he say? What does Allah Ta'ala say? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. When you remember me, then I also remember you, O my dhakir. What does this mean? That when every moment, every footstep, every action, every breath, every word, every statement, every footstep, whatever you do, you raise your hands, your feet, whatever you do, say, see, you know Allah Ta'ala has said, leave this, or is there permission to do this? For every action, every footstep of your life, when you commit like this and practice like this, Allah Ta'ala gave me the hukam. Am I doing this or not? This is Allah's hukam. Allah Ta'ala said, this is lawful, halal, I'm doing it, fine. Allah said, this is haram, this is unlawful, refrain from this, then fine. And Allah Ta'ala calls this, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. This is remembering me, Allah says. When you were sinning, you remembered me. When you stole, you remembered me. When you did a dirty action, you remembered me. And you didn't forget me. When shaitan and nafs made you do a bad action, straight away you remembered me. No. Allah will become displeased. I must leave this. Allah will be detached from me. He will leave me. Then I will leave this deed. Allah said, you left the unlawful action. فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. Most definitely you remembered me at that time. And this is the dhakir. When unlawful deeds confront us, cross our paths, and we leave them for the sake of Allah, this is dhikr. This is the effect of dhikr. And Allah says, when you do dhikr in this way, you remember me, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Immediately I remember you at the same time, Allah Ta'ala said. Immediately I remember you. Not that time when you're doing tasbih, tak, tak, tasbih, tasbih. Look, I'm not telling you this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't remember us when we're doing dhikr with the tasbih, doing du'as. No, when our nafs and shaitan, our carnal based desires are dragging us to do sin, to do an action against the sharia, to do the action of our base passion and carnal desires, and their world is in front of us and the conditions are there, I can commit that sin and I break the veils, I break the all of the barriers, obstructions, and say, Allah, I don't want you to be displeased with me if I do this unlawful action. Fadhkuruni, Allah says, you've remembered me now, then adhkurkum, I also will remember you in the heavens. Allahu Akbar. And what is Allah Ta'ala's remembrance? Allah says, when you remember me, when you're about to sin, do a bad action, then Allah says, you remembered me, that Allah will be displeased with me if I do a sin, and then you left that sin. Allah said, the whole of mankind and creation will recognize you, and they will fulfill your needs in the lawful way. And this is called fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Aha. So the friend of Allah, his heart was made, trained, conditioned. He forgot his home, his children, desperately hungry from a week. His wife who had saved up for so long, he forgot that 2 dirham, the pain of a saving. Today we have hordes of wealth, money, wealth. Oh, give me 500. Oh, 300. Make it 400. Oh, take 200 out of your pocket. Oh, father, give me the car. Oh, he's had an accident. Oh, get another car. Oh, wife, buy this and that. What kind of life is this? What kind of this is a deception. Will these two people be the same in the hereafter? No way. Allah's justice is just. Allah Ta'ala's court is just. You have to give something to attain in the hereafter. You have to sacrifice your desires in this world to attain the treasures of Allah in the hereafter. So we should be prepared always to give. If you've got a deficiency here, no worries. I'll give to that person who needs, because Allah will give me compensation in the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, how can the two be the same? How can darkness and light be the same? Can the blind and the person who's got vision be the same? So how can this person who gave, who sacrificed his 2 dirham to that child who was crying, he forgot his children who were hungry, his wife was saving, the pain, the years. He had 2 dirham. He had, that was his whole world at that time, his 2 dirhams. He forgot his needs and gave to the child. So what was this? Who was the one who sent him to that child who was crying? It was Allah. So he saw, Allah, you sent me here to this situation. I saw the child who was crying. Allah said, let me see how much you remember me. You pray tahajjud, you do dhikr, you remember me. Let me see. Do you sacrifice your desires now? But he was also a solid wali of Allah, and he gave the 2 dirham, the riyals. After that, he had nothing left. Aha. Then he started to think. Then tafakkurat came in, analysis, pondering over his issue. He had difficulty now, worry and rizq, wealth. All these three things started to revolve around him, rotate around him. He said, what have I done here? He set forth. Where was he going to go now? He couldn't go to buy the flour. He went to the masjid, prayed dhuhr. How can I go back home? Wife sent me to get the flour. He thought, what shall I do? If I go back home, wife will beat me. She's going to criticize me. She's going to mock me. What have you done, husband? You gave the 2 dirham away, the riyal. What shall I do? I'll go the evening home. After Maghrib, I'll pray Maghrib Salah. Then I'll go home. At that time, the children will be asleep. And maybe her anger will have cooled. And I'll go then quietly and slowly, without any noise, I'll lie down and we'll see what happens in the morning. So he followed his methodology, his thoughts, his plan. He went to the masjid. He met a friend. He said, what's the situation? How are you? He said, nothing. We met after such a long time. He said, yeah, come with me home. He said, he went with him home. And his friend took him home. And mashallah, he was a carpenter at that time, his friend. So the carpenter, when they make things, you know, like the framework, and they collect the wood and the pieces left over, then they sell. Then mashallah, he was sitting there looking with his friend and discussing, and his contention was that I can't see any root. He said, there's one root, and this is astaghfar. He said that I will go in the masjid. In the masjid, he started to astaghfar, and then he met his friend who took him home. So he kept on saying astaghfar, astaghfar, and he kept on doing astaghfar, reciting astaghfar, seeking forgiveness. وَمَا يَتَقِلَّهُ Allah Ta'ala says that when a person remembers him, when night fell and he was free, he said, okay, my friend, I will go home now. And this was his program, his plan. He said, you came to me after such a long time, I want to give you some hadiyah, a gift. So I've got nothing else to give to you as hadiyah, as a gift. Then here are the leftovers, the pieces, you take these. And mashallah, you know, where you have to sleep, he's got no food. And he said that, look, you can prepare to burn or these as fuel and take this. So he said, is it? Okay, I'm going to get into trouble and go home. She's asking for flour and he's giving this to me to take home. They left over the pieces. And what? How will I set fire on this? And there's nothing to cook on it. So he did ikhlas and sincerity. And he filled up the sack with that and he took it home. Filled up the sack with the leftover pieces of the wood. And it was Maghrib time, the chips. the leftover chips from the wood. And he went home, Maghrib. She said, what's happening? And then he put the sack in the corner and he went straight to the masjid for Isha. And he started istighfar, istighfar, repentance, Allah, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then he was scared, afraid. He prayed Isha, went home. He opened the door slowly, looked in, peeped in, who's sleeping, who's awake. And he saw there's movement and there's light. And there's the family's together, there's a gathering. And he saw, oh, the problem's gonna happen. She said, have you not washed your hands? Why are you taking long? He said, wash hands? What for? Yeah, she said, the food's ready. Food? And tell me, she said, that today, where did you get this flour from? What flour? Where did you get the flour from? And he's thinking, which flour? From which place did you go where you ground the flour? Go to that flour mill again. Such fine and beautiful and quality flour. It's like that there's butter inside this flour. They're so tasty in aroma. And such delicious and tasty bread and chapatis been cooked. Quickly wash your hands and eat the food. And he, astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu alayhi. This is Allah's promise. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these three things, the astaghfar finishes straight where he understood his fortune was made. He washed his hands, started to eat, which was the food from paradise, alhamdulillah. So what did those chips of wood become? The flour from paradise. So brothers, this is the situation. But we don't understand. We're not aware. When a person does something in life, nothing stops. Nothing stops. The cure that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given to us. And if we take the solutions, the guidance, the methodology, the framework, I swear by Allah, a person, a Muslim, a mu'min's life in this world will become paradise. Astaghfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah, is a great statement, great deed, great dhikr. And there are many benefits, and just one benefit I've explained today, we should be regular in astaghfar, consistent in the day, at least do two things. On what? We should do tawbah, astaghfar on our sins. But when you do a good deed, straight away after that, do astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.